Turning our attention now to fishing, and especially trout fishing, with Jay Thurston. Jay's an author, is an educator, a lifelong trout angler. His books include Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams, holds a master's degree in outdoor education from Northern Illinois University. His most recent book is for young readers. It's called Ring of Fire. It's got a little trout fishing in it as well. And glad to have him with us today. And we'll start out talking trout fishing, and certainly hope you'll join in. Do you fish for trout or other Wisconsin fish? Have you noticed conditions changing, either for the better or for the worse, over the past decade? Where do you like to fish? Or do you have questions about where to fish for trout? We've got some wonderful trout streams, and I know Jay's happy to talk with us about them. And if you have a question or a comment, something to share, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can join us that way. And maybe you've got a good fishing picture, or maybe a good picture of trout that you've caught or other fish. But post those, too. Jay is joining us from our lacrosse studios. Jay, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Larry. Very comfortable.
No, he's not there. Let's see if we can get him in. Fool around here a little bit. Maybe I can. Jay, are you there? Well, we will get him. We'll get him here shortly. I'm trying to figure out what might be the problem here, and I don't have it yet. But we will get it. We will get it shortly. Jay has done a lot of fishing. Spent a lot of time fishing. And especially for trout, so it's great to have him. Great to have him along to talk. And I'm sorry we're having trouble with our lacrosse studios. What we'll do is we'll probably call him on the phone, and we'll get him taken care of that way. But I'm sorry that we're not able to get him, because it seems like everything I can do, I have done, and it's still not working. So. Oh, my goodness me. I'm sorry we're having those problems, but we'll get it taken care of. I've done a lot of trout fishing. I used to fish for trout religiously, and I kind of got away from it, but I was pretty good at it, and I really enjoyed going out, and especially early in the season for me, I could go out, and we had a situation where, on opening weekend, we had a limit of five, and I could catch five trout on Saturday, and I could catch five trout on Sunday, and have nine people over, and we'd have trout. And I would usually stuff them with a crab stuffing of sorts that people seem to like a lot. And so that was how I prepared trout when I was doing a lot of trout fishing. I loved it that way. But frankly, you know, you just pan fry them, and they're really good that way as well. So I'm hoping that we're able to get through to Jay, and I just wish that we were able to do that. Just wish that we were able to do that, but we're just not having any luck at all. And our engineers have looked over my shoulder, and they're sometimes I've had situation. Once I had a situation where the guest, the phone line didn't work, and the guest wasn't available, so I was here all by myself with no guest, and also nobody to talk to who called in. So it was kind of a long 10 or 15 minutes of me talking while we try to figure out what was wrong. But we finally got it figured out after about 10 minutes or so. Judith's in the process of giving a call, and we'll see if we can get him up here and talking. You know, we're so fortunate to have this wealth of wildlife that we have in the state. And you know, if you enjoy fishing, I mean, for me, it's a paradise. here in the state. Lots of different species to fish for. But there's something special that goes on with trout. I mean, there really are. There is a great feeling that a great aura, I think, connected with trout and with trout fishing. I was teasing with Judith and some other folks before the show. I said, did you ever read Richard Brautigan's book, Trout Fishing in America? Didn't have a whole lot to do with trout fishing. it was certainly an entertaining book, and I loved teasing them about it. It really wasn't. It was sort of a book from the 70s, back in the day when I think there was a lot of pot smoking or something going on with Richard Brautigan. And I don't think Jay Thurston, when he wrote his book about the 100 best trout streams in the state, that he had anything in mind, anything at all, like Richard Brautigan's book. But maybe he did. Let's see if we can get him online here. We got him online yet, Judith? No, she looks like she's still working on that.
Mike.
Well, tell you what, we'll get him there, and it's going to take another minute or two, I'm afraid, to do that. I'm sorry, I'm really apologize for the problems that we've had here. And we have people that are working on this, and Judith is trying to get a hold of him by phone. So if we can't talk to him through our studios, we should at least be able to visit with him by phone for the last 30 minutes or so of the program. Looks like everything is fit and ready to go, and it's just not going. Oh, man. And I hope you'll join in. If we can't get a hold of him, we'll do an open line and we'll talk about things, programs, and we'll talk maybe about things that you'd like to have us cover. But we finally got him, I think, on the landline now. So let's see if he's there. Let me see if I got him. Yes. Jay, are you there?
I'm here.
Ha! All right.
Oh, you finally got. We're getting through. Very good.
I have no idea why our, calling from one studio to the other studio, you'd think there'd be no problem at all.
Right. It works better at home sometimes.
It works. Yeah, I hear you drove all the way to the studios. You might just as well have sat home.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you what. Here you are. Here I am. And here are a bunch of listeners. Probably many who have questions for you, and if you do have a question for Jay, as we talk with him about trout fishing first, and then maybe we'll talk a little about his book that he just wrote too and got published, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show, and we would love to hear from you. Are you out there trout fishing?
I'm going trout fishing tomorrow morning, Larry.
Oh, where are you going?
Well, I have a 9-year-old friend that contacted me and purchased my book, and he has wanted me to come fishing at his trout stream.
Oh.
It'll be a very special event, and I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to fish fairly early, which the best time tomorrow would be about 8 to 9 a.m., so that's when Noel and I will be fishing together.
Now, on this time of the year, are you using what we call garden hackle, euphemistically, or are?
No, I'm pretty much a spinner fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, I will fly fish, but I have perfected the underhand flip cast with a spinning rod, and I'm much better at casting with a spinning rod than the fly rod. Therefore, that's what I use.
Well, and especially on a lot of the streams that we have, you know, they're overgrown. You've got, branches hanging over the stream.
Absolutely. And this time of year, it's best to be in the stream. You're away from the tall nettles and the wild parsley, and it's cooler there.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay Thurston will be with us right up until 12:30 today. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we will be back with Jay. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we talk trout fishing. And we've got a guy who really knows his fishing, too, a trout angler, Jay Thurston. He has got some great tips for us on trout fishing. He's the author of several books, Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams. His most recent book is out for young readers. It's called Ring of Fire, and certainly we're going to talk with him about that as well. But also, we're zeroing in on trout. Do you fish for trout or other Wisconsin fish? Where do you go? Or do you have questions about where to go or what to use? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email talk at WPR.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, post a photo or a question there. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Talking trout fishing in Wisconsin with Jay Thurston, author, educator, longtime trout angler. He also has a new book out. It's a book for young readers. It's called Ring of Fire, and I certainly want to take some time to talk about that as well. But for the moment, we'll zero in a bit on trout fishing with him and love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk at WPR.org. And we actually have a photo of him on my Facebook page. Got a photo of Jay in our La Crosse studios ready to talk trout fishing. And by golly, you look pretty handsome there, Jay.
Well, thank you. But you notice I'm wearing my trout fishing glasses. They're Polaroid glasses, and they're prescription glasses. And everyone, when they're trout fishing, should wear polarized glasses. It will help you see through the water, into the water, and you'll be able to identify that log and that lunker structure and give you a better idea exactly where you should be casting. And also, you'll be able to free that lure if you get it hung up, because you'll be able to see into the water exactly where it's attached.
Yeah, absolutely. And frankly, for any kind of fishing, those glasses are just
absolutely
essential, no doubt about it. Susan in Coon Valley has a comment or question. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. I'm just curious. You know, I'm not a fly fishing person, but someone told me that I should use a bubble float, and I can fish for trout just fine with that, and I have been fishing trout, but just with a regular rod and reel, and, you know, I've had pretty good luck. But I'm curious about those float bubbles, if Jay ever uses that. And secondly, is this the same Jay that used to work in the La Crosse School District?
Yes, this is the same Jay.
Okay, Jay, I worked in the La Crosse School District, so I recognize that name right away. But do you have you ever used a float bubble?
Yes. When I first started tying flies and I had a spinning rod instead of a fly rod, I used the float bubble. You can fill it with water, put it half full of water, and it will float, but you'll be able to cast a little further if you have some water in that float bubble.
Okay.
And, of course, when you use a nymph, that would work for your strike indicator, too, and you could see when that bubble moves, the fish is taking your nymph at the bottom of the stream. So it works. It works quite well, but it's an old technique that hasn't been around, I guess, for about 40 or 50 years.
Okay.
All right, wonderful. Thanks for calling, Susan. Andy in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Good. I just got my trout, or actually my guide license. I'm looking at moving up to Bayfield County. I fish the Cranberry River often, and the East Fork primarily. Do you happen to know any other streams in the area?
Yes. I spent 9 years after I retired. We moved to our lake home near Iron River. And
do you live in Iron River?
No, I lived up there from 95 to 04 for 9 years.
Okay.
The reason
Great.
We moved back here was because the trout fishing kept improving in Vernon County, so that's why we moved back. But I fished all the streams up there. The North Fork of the fish, North Fork of Fish Creek, is particularly good. And the Cranberry is excellent. It was one of my favorite streams for steelhead. The Flag is good after it clears up if it hasn't rained for a week or two, because it runs with quite a bit of turbidity from the clay in the Flag.
Okay.
So those three in particular I enjoyed probably better than the Brule, because the Brule is fished by 33,000 fishermen every year, and it's hard to find the trout there, plus it's hard to find the space between the fishermen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've been to the Brule.
You can
and another thing,
yeah.
What else do you have? What do you use for a lure?
Well, I use size 3 spinners, and I like a Vibrex or a MEP spinner, size 3, and I like silver until about this time of year, and pretty soon I'll be switching to gold. And the darker colors seem to work better later in the season. I think that works with flies, too. Lighter in the early season, and then getting toward fall, summer, darker works better.
Do you ever use the Panther Martins?
Oh, yes.
I always liked them because the blade will turn under almost any condition.
Yes. Panther Martin, I particularly like the yellow Panther Martin because all fish are kind of curious yellow. So that worked particularly well. And I used it in the size 9, which would be about like a size 3. Most people don't use spinners that are large enough. The larger ones will get down deeper. You can cast further. You'll also catch the small fish, but you'll catch more of the large fish as well.
Hmm. So there you go, Andy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Love the topic.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Bob in Oconomowoc. Hi.
Hello. Thank you very much. Hello, Mr. Thurston.
Hello, Bob.
I've bought a couple of your books from you in person, so it's an honor to speak to you again. I fish a lot. I don't do very well at catching, however. But my brother from Nevada is a very avid trout fisherman. And before I purchased your book on Spring Creek Treasures, we had fished Painter Creek quite a bit, but were not very successful. And so after I purchased your book and read, and I was glad I figured out Painter Creek was one of your favorites, can you give me some idea on what section I should be in?
Okay. Early season, I always recommend the lower third of the stream where the big holes are, because the trout go south for winter. They go to those big holes to survive.
So a bit would that be near Towerville?
It'd be below Towerville.
Below Towerville. Okay, thank you.
That's the early season. We're into the warm part of summer. And for that, I would fish the upper half to upper third of the stream. And usually on the upper third of the stream also, you can get in the water. There's a solid bottom there, and that's where you want to be.
Right.
And it's better to...
We went to the DNR, or the parking lot on Tainter Creek Road there.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the upper third?
Above Towerville would be the upper third.
Oh, anywhere above Towerville.
Right.
Okay.
And you're up there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for your help.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. Pat in Gleason, it's your turn. Hi, Pat.
Yes, good morning. Question this morning. The Prairie River in the Gleason area, it seems in my eyes, though, the fishing has deteriorated over the last 5 years or so. I believe the DNR stopped planting trout in that river. Do you have any input on why the native, the brook trout, just don't seem to be regenerated? The regeneration isn't there, or there's a lot of small trout. Do you know anything about that stretch of river?
Yes, I fished near Gleason and also further upstream. I prefer it further upstream because the brook trout, when the water goes to about 58 degrees, are on the move upstream to cooler water. So there are probably not many trout right now around Gleason. They'll be further upstream near the spring water.
Okay, that would answer some of the questions then, where they've gone.
Yes.
And do you know anything? The DNR stopped planting trout in that section, do you know?
That I don't know, but the DNR has stopped planting in quite a few streams where there's a good natural reproduction. And now with about 90 to 94% of our anglers practicing catch and release, some of our trout streams actually have almost too many trout in them. So for that reason, we may not have as big a trout as we used to have in some of those streams, and therefore the DNR has stopped planting trout.
Mm, there you go.
All righty. Well, I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 with your question about trout fishing as we visit with Jay Thurston. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can contact us that way as well. A Facebook question from Tony. Would you be willing to talk about the importance for anglers to practice catch and release?
Yes.
I feel that a lot of our fisheries, other than within the driftless area, suffer from over-harvesting. I know you covered this in your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Well, catch and release is something that most of us practice and almost becomes a religion, to where it would be almost sinful if we kept that trout. We just prefer watching it swim away. But, again, I mentioned that some of our streams may have too many trout today. And what is happening is that as a result of a lot of trout from 10 to 12 inches, they're eating the small minnows before they get large. And if we really are going to have large trout, we need growth food. We need chubs. We need suckers. We need minnows in the stream in order to grow trout to that size. I am seeing in a lot of our streams more suckers than I've seen for quite some time, so that's good. That can help grow larger trout. And I've also just saw about a 24-inch brown trout in the Bad Axe River system. I'm not going to say where exactly, but that was last Thursday, and it was an overcast day. That's why I was fishing that day, because you'll never see a trout that big when the sun's shining bright, but it came out from under a lunker structure and followed my lure. So I'll be back after that trout. But I was so pleased to see it.
Yeah.
That told me that we have enough growth food in that stream to produce big trout.
Excellent. Dan in Madison has a question for you. Let's go there. Yes. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Say, I'm in the market. We'll be looking to purchase some property in the rural areas here in Wisconsin. I would like to find a place that would have some frontage or a stream or something where I can either do some fishing and stocking or connect with that and enjoy that. So I was wondering what to look for.
Okay, Dan. The reason we moved to Viroqua was because I call that Trout Central. There's 10 good trout streams within 10 miles of where I live. And we purchased a home on the edge of town. And for a good reason, we're up on the ridge. We have had 5 flash floods in the last 6 years in our region. And some of the places have flooded down in the valley. So you have to be careful when you're purchasing a home or land in the valley near the trout stream in that region. And also, it's much better up there on the ridge because the wind blows just right. You don't have any bugs. It's cooler, and you don't have any bugs on the ridge. So somebody gave me that advice, and that was good advice.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. That is very good advice. Brian in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hello. I just had a question regarding the Wolf River, and seems that the trout numbers have been down on the Wolf for quite some time, and I'm wondering if there's any habitat restoration efforts that could be done, and if so, whether there are plans to do those.
I'm not sure about the habitat restoration in that region, but I do know that habitat restoration, when you deepen and narrow the stream, results in cooler water. And that's probably what the Wolf River needs, because it's one of the glacial streams. And in that region, 50% of the water is from runoff, water warmed on the surface from swamps and marshes and ponds and lakes. In the driftless region, we don't have that. So 90% of the water entering our streams in southwest Wisconsin comes from cold 48-degree spring water. So our streams stay colder year-round, and the trout are easier to find there. In the Wolf River and the Pestigo and some of those rivers, the trout move to cooler regions, and they're really difficult to find in late summer.
There you go, Brian. Thank you for calling. Chris in Ladysmith. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I was curious about the DNR policy of removing beaver dams on a lot of these smaller streams, particularly in the far northern parts of Wisconsin, because I've been fishing my whole life. A number of these areas, like Minnie and Mineral Creek up north, and the upper reaches of the White, and some of the upper stretches of the Weirgore, places like that, the brook fishing was a good 10 times better than it is now when those dams were in. And those are mostly spring-fed creeks. The idea I've heard is that the water gets too warm, but in a lot of these areas, the brookie fishing has dropped to absolutely nothing since these dam removals. The upper reaches of the White, for instance, has been dramatically changed by this policy.
Yes. I know the policy is to remove the beaver dams because the water supposedly gets too warm behind the dams. However, that doesn't necessarily happen down in southwestern Wisconsin because of the high bank. So the beaver dams seldom push the water up beyond the high bank, and if the water is getting warm, it's very minimal. So I think before you make a judgment on the condition of the stream and the water temperature, you better get out there and start taking the water temperature. This is something that I do all the time. And I think before the DNR removes the dams, they should have a record of the water temperature and what it is, and then make that judgment accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Chris. Jeff in Madison, hi.
Hi. I'm calling in with a comment about a trout trip I just took. I caught a couple just south of Madison on the Badfish Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a discharge from a sewage plant in Oregon, the town of Oregon. And you can kind of smell the chlorine as you go downstream. Well, I caught these trout, brought them home, and cooked them up. And by golly, the flesh had a nice waft of the sewage in it. And so do you experience that in other ways where the taste of the trout takes on the characteristics of the stream, so to speak?
Well, most of the treatment plants now have been improved to the point where that doesn't happen. I was teaching some Boy Scouts on conservation ecology from Cashton, and I wanted them to learn about the man-made water cycle, so we went to the sewage treatment plant, we went to the pumping station, and we went to the water tower as well, so they could understand something about it. But that is a state-of-the-art sewage treatment plant. And that water comes out of there, flows right into Leon Creek, and it's awfully good fishing right below Leon, right below the sewage treatment plant.
Mm.
So it depends upon the plant and whether it's up to date or not in treatment.
Thanks for calling. You know, you've been talking about, in your book, your most recent book for young readers, it's called Ring of Fire, by the way. There's a little fishing in that one. But something different for you. What did you writing for children, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is. Although I used to tell Swamp Wampa stories to children when I was teaching elementary school and also an elementary school principal. So I knew I would eventually write the book about growing up in Felch, Michigan with my two friends and my dog Zipper. And I'm glad I didn't do it sooner because it wouldn't have been very good. And so when I'm talking to children about writing, I always say, you need practice. You just can't go out on the basketball floor and start shooting and make 10 free throws in a row. Well, you can't do that in writing either. Those 10 first articles you write will probably be rejections. So I had to learn how to write, and I read a lot of Ernest Hemingway to learn how to write fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he has certainly helped me a great deal because I think Ring of Fire is probably even better than my first children's book, Out of the Rainbow.
Well, you got some inspiration for this book just from your days as a youth.
Yes, yes. So I do include quite a bit about growing up and what it was like during the Second World War.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got three musketeers, three boys.
Yes.
Following them through their daily lives. It seems like you really did draw a lot from your own experiences.
Yes, yes. Everything in the book really came from my own experience in the sense that the last chapter where we were caught in a forest fire, we really were in a forest fire.
Oh.
But we didn't know the danger. However, we got out of there just before a big pine tree came down and blocked our way. So
wow.
We were very fortunate.
Wow. Well, and and it takes place in the UP of Michigan.
Yes, where I grew up. Felches near Iron Mountain, about 100 miles north of Green Bay, and surrounded by woods and trout streams. So what a wonderful place to grow up.
Oh, yeah. And the friendliness and the warmth of the town and its people, I think that figures really prominently in your story as a nice part of it.
Yes, and that was typical of the small towns, I think, at that time, with, about 200 people there. And they all knew us, of course. My dad was a very successful basketball coach in Felch, and so they certainly knew me. And they called us the Three Musketeers. That's where the name came from the people of Felch.
And there's, as you mentioned, an imaginary creature in this book called the Wallerwampus.
Yes, the Swamp Wampus creature I invented. I wanted to make this creature a friendly creature that just has goodness to give. And so the Swamp Wampus is invisible except when there's a rainbow, and then they're the color of the rainbow. And they like to help people when they have a problem. So the Swamp Wampus saved us from the bear. And the Swamp Wampus, of course, found us, too, when the forest fire had us penned in and told us exactly where to go to survive that forest fire. So we were very fortunate.
Very, very lucky to have a Swamp Wampus.
Right. And, Larry, when I talk to children, I tell them, now don't go out in the woods looking for a Swamp Wampus, because remember, they're invisible except when there's a rainbow. And you have to be at the end of the rainbow to find a Swamp Wampus. I don't know anybody that's been there excepting me.
So the book's just out. So sales, things going well for you?
Yes, very good. This is the best part of my life. I thoroughly enjoyed my teaching and my years as an elementary school principal here in La Crosse. But I'm thoroughly enjoying this part of my life where I'm writing, and people are telling me they enjoy what I write. And I think it's kind of where you think about, well, what's going to be my next book now?
So yeah.
As a writer, you just want to keep going because it's such a good path to be on.
You know Jerry Apps by any chance? Have you ever met him?
I know the name, but I haven't met him personally.
No, he's another guy. He's kind of like you. He retired and then started writing, and he's been cranking out books like you wouldn't believe for many years, and really in his retirement really isn't a retirement at all. It's a lot. But he's enjoying it, and it sounds like you are too, Jay.
I certainly am. I have a regular trout column I write for the Vernon County Broadcaster in Viroqua.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't yet sat down at my computer wondering what I'm going to write about. I have a note card in my pocket all the time and a pen. And whenever I have an idea for the next story, I write it down.
It's a great way to do it. Jay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate having you with us. Sorry for our problems right away at the beginning of the show, but we got that worked out. And Jay Thurston probably going to be with us again. He'll probably talk about it in one of his books, or he'll certainly be around to talk with us about trout fishing again. He knows so much about it, and he's just an all-around good guy. Which I like to have good guys on the show. Tomorrow at 11, another good guy, Bassam Shakashuri, professor of chemistry, talks about changes and opportunities in the world of science. And then Lauren, and then tomorrow we have a UW emeritus professor of computer science who is a pioneer in the internet. Stay with us.